This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Yes, Philip. What are you alluding to tonight, sir?
All right. Well,
we have a few things we're going to talk about. What's on your mind?
Well, since this is Commando Thursdays,
all right. Guys, let's start taking our clothes off now.
As you guys put it, this one is a good song
by the group Kiss. Fine piece of art. It's a canvas to be explored and adored. But I should warn all the guys out here about first taking it off. Not all men are created equal.
That's true.
So just think about that. If you know you're not, don't take your clothes off.
Because, Bill, you know why?
Well, no, I don't know why.
Okay, here you
Tell
go.
Tell me why.
Here you go.
Platform high heels and all that, I think their music came out stronger. And when they, I don't know, took the makeup off, it's okay, band, but I just don't think it, you know, it strikes me like it did in the with the
no.
makeup.
No.
Not that I'm for makeup. I just, you know. But
they're a good band, though.
They are a good band. I just think I liked them better. I think the music was stronger when they had the face makeup on. I just don't think they've come up with the songs I like that much.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm.
Only my opinion. Only my opinion, boys and girls.
That's okay. So, how are you and Phil doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Fine. It's a nice day here.
It will be a nice day tomorrow for us. We expect a lot of vicious rain tonight. But then after that, we're going to have a very nice weekend. So, and Philip and I got some. We have to be in many places this week, at least a couple places. So.
Well, yeah, because
right.
there's the bike blessing going on at your place.
That'll be about 500
oh,
people there.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And then about 15 minutes ago, we talked to Rusty for the event at his place,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be T-Rod and Gene are going to be doing the Speedway car.
And if you don't know that, we're talking about Illusion Motorcycles up in Westminster, California. They have the only Speedway car powered by Harley-Davidson, I think, in
That's
America,
correct.
Probably worldwide.
Three-wheel.
Yeah.
Sidecar
yeah.
bike.
So they're getting ready for that season. They're going to have that party. It's going on the same day as our party. So
right.
I'm going to probably encourage people to spend an hour or two and get out of my shop and go up there. And I just talked to Rusty. He's going to say the same thing.
Right.
Hey, you get a little bored. Jump on your bike and ride
100
miles.
Well, he also said to take pictures of you with the white collar on blessing the bike.
There's a little misunderstanding there.
I know.
When we have the bike blessing, I don't mean I... So I do have the gray hair, though, but I don't think I'll be the blessed of the bikes. We'll have we have our own wild minister. The guy's name is Fred Z,
right.
Pastor Z. He's
right.
long hair down his back and all that. He's he'll do the blessing and all that because he fits the profile.
And then, you know,
okay.
both,
basically, I'm a work in progress. See,
right.
That's not why I just can't do the blessing and all that. By the way, you're a work in progress, too. I got news for you.
Right.
But it was good seeing Gene Simmons again, you know,
yeah.
with without makeup still. I think he's a...
Well, are you ready for a little Jack Webb and Harry Morgan?
Jack Webb? And
yeah, it seems they wanted to tell... They're telling Obama.
Just tell us the truth. Just the facts, man.
Just the facts.
Just the facts. I love those guys. Just
Here we
the
go.
Facts.
Maybe we do, son. Don't think you have a corner on all of virtue vision in the country, or that everybody else is fat and selfish and you're the first generation to come along that's felt dissatisfied. They all have, you know, about different things, and most of them didn't have the same opportunity and freedoms that you do. The fact is, more people are living better right here than anywhere else ever before in history. So don't expect us to roll over and play dead when you say you're dissatisfied.
You're taller, stronger, healthier, better educated, and you live longer than the last generation. And we don't think that's altogether bad. We've done quite a bit of fighting all around the world. Whether you think it was moral or not, a lot of people are free today to make their own mistakes because of it. And that may just include you.
I don't know. Maybe part of it's the fact that you're in a hurry. But some problems you can't get quick answers to, no matter how much you want them. Show me how to get rid of the unlimited capacity for human beings to make themselves believe that they're somehow right and justified in stealing from somebody.
I don't think that we're telling you to lose your ideals or your sense of outrage. They're the only way things ever get done. And there's a lot that still needs doing, and we hope you'll tackle it. You don't have to do anything dramatic like trying to come up with a better country. You can find enough to keep you busy right here. While you're at it, don't break things up in the name of progress or crack a placard stick over somebody's head to help him see the light. Be careful of his rights, because your property and your person and your rights aren't any better than his. And next time, you may be the one to get it. We remember a man who killed 6 million people and called it social improvement.
So hang in. Don't try to build a new country. Make the old one work. It has for over 400 years. Maybe we...
Well, you know, I liked what he said about... You've heard me say it so many times, and I'm sure our listeners have too. I like to quote a great statesman, Benjamin Franklin, who said, "Your rights stop when the tip of my nose starts." Right. And I try very hard to be open-minded, but I remind people, don't tread on my rights. And don't force your issues on me. If you wish to have dialogue, that's communication between me and you, I'd be glad to listen to you. Don't force your opinions on me. I don't receive them well.
Yeah.
Right. I think I speak to both of us on this here.
Yes. It's like, I got another thing that was thrown out to see how it would stick to the wall, Bill, but what's your honest opinion on the general characteristics of motorcycle clubs as a whole as you see it in 2012?
Well, it's so diversified, it's kind of hard to... Let me just pause this for a second here. Well, first of all, before we get started, I'd like to say that I believe each motorcycle club is personification of the club president's personality. If you have a rogue or a loose cannon president, you have a rogue or a loose cannon motorcycle shop. So with the different motorcycle clubs, the different club presidents, the different personalities, so and that's kind of a broad stroke of the brush, but you picked a guy. Go on that a little bit. Elaborate that a little bit there.
Well, Bill, some of the clubs take the lead in setting a positive example in the community by means of community support. Bike runs.
Yeah, some do.
Some
just take care of their own self only.
Right. And harmony at the club level cannot be obtained due to the nature of the motorcycle club characteristics as a whole. They lack focus and sustainable direction in things that are wholesome and upbuilding. Clubs are divisive and conflict-ridden.
Ego-ridden, too. Throw that in there, please.
Yes, in competition for members and revenue. The demand for the spotlight on a club is deemed essential to achieve its objective. Well, I didn't know that they had an objective. What's the objective?
That club president's personality, how he wants the club to go, that's going to be the objective of the
okay,
club.
So in this
now, some are out there doing things. Some are saying, hey, we're taking care of ourselves only.
Okay,
this is why we have this diversification.
So in this case, the spotlight has to move from one club in order to give attention to another?
Now, see, that can't go there. Who we got in the background there?
I don't know.
There, we'll finish up there.
But this, you know, it's... Plus a manner of nullifying any claimed unity process that may have been in the works.
Well, I have to say this here. If I'm in a bar, two chickens in the hen house. And that's what always happens. In a few things of alcohol, and then it's just, I'm with this club A, you're at club B, and quite a lot of problems there. I'd like to point out that, my friend Rick Diven, Rick and I were in the two different motorcycle clubs 41 years ago, two different motorcycle clubs at the same time, and yet all these years we've still made good friends and all that. So anyway, it's hard to put two bike clubs together because they don't fit in any one category.
No.
No, everyone is different.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
Why do you think that's so?
As Bill stated in regards to the president, man, he is a big factor to how separate one's role is, if that makes sense, and how they are to people, the community. But the majority of them, They're good, decent people. Period. You know, I've never met anyone yet that has rubbed me the wrong way, if that makes sense. So I think the diversity, the personalities is what makes a difference.
If you have
people that are hostile, it's going to be hostile, you know.
We had 15 members of the East End Motorcycle Club from Sweden at my shop on Tuesday. Their whole concept was that they love coming to America because this is where the birthplace of the American Motorcycle Club was. They love coming to America because this is the birthplace of Harley-Davidson. This is their whole concept. But they, once they leave Sweden, they are concerned about the violence that we incur in America. And because you and I live in this world, it doesn't seem to be anything different. But it was odd to hear these foreign people, Norway, Sweden, come over saying they were concerned about the violence in the motorcycle world. It was 15 of them together. So,
right.
They don't have that over there.
No.
Right.
And if they were
but
in Germany,
some countries, they are very hostile, you know.
Yeah.
They have a lot of challenges that face them, which puts them in a hostile position.
Sure,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Canada.
When I was
there, stems from the government. I'm sorry.
When I was in Sweden quite a few years ago, I was at a motorcycle. I used to a lot of runs overseas. My wife's health prohibits that from us anymore. But we had a run with 22 clubs, an incident occurred. 22 club presidents came out of the woodworks. They defused it immediately. They have a ruling over there because they have a short riding season, 2.5 months long. It starts a fight at one of the big super rallies during the short riding season. Bub is blackballed for the whole riding season.
Really?
One ride, one fight, your whole club is blackballed. That kind of keeps everything on the straight, you know?
Right. Because once again, Bill, Santa Monica.
Oh, Santa Monica, that's a different world.
Different
Santa
world
Monica, California,
the
different
Santa
world.
Santa Monica Police Department's going to allocate extra patrol officers to areas across the city where motorcyclists and motorcycle crashes occur on April 15th. Constitutional enforcement operation again, Bill. Safety.
Got somebody coming in here? What's going on here? What do we got here, Phil? I'm getting a lot of static. What?
A lot of feedback.
A lot of feedback. Okay, we're back. Okay, good.
So this guy, he's a sergeant. His name is Richard Lewis. That his officers will be cracking down on traffic violations made by motorcyclists as well as other drivers. Why didn't they just say all drivers?
Yeah.
So now
because they state here that all drivers on April 15th is the most leading accident day.
Here's the deal. This is what I don't understand. The first sentence says, motorcycle fatalities have been on the rise in California, increasing by 175% in the last 10 years, from 204 deaths in 1998 to 560 in 2008. The trend is reversed, and data now shows a 37% decrease to 394 in 2009 and 352 in 2010, which is a positive trend we want to see continue.
Well, you know, I got to argue with those numbers. First of all,
because
you can crunch.
During those years, a lot of people weren't riding bikes.
Yes, that's exactly
that's
it.
That's the problem.
The money's tight now. People aren't riding the motorcycles like they used to, and we have a pull off there. That also goes to the people in bicycles. They're saying people aren't in scooters. People aren't riding the cars as much they were a couple of years ago. But that's the way people do. They take the numbers, they crunch them the way they want, and throw it out there to make
right.
it read.
Well, you know, and then they go back to that. Well, improperly licensed drivers.
Yeah.
62.7% motorcycle operators that were killed under 25 were not properly licensed. 2009 fell to 45%.
You know,
they don't want to break it down that way. They want everybody to assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're going to get about $60,000 or $70,000 to do this.
Exactly.
All it is overtime for those guys. Yep. But this article...
Money in their pocket just to make... not break it down the way it should be.
Right.
Money for overtime, a little extra this and that, and it's just senseless. But yeah.
And our yep. Art was the one to sign it back to us. Fran, if you're in...
Fran Del Santo?
She says she can't get the show on.
This is...
See, I'm not the only one that has had problems.
No. This is getting me more.
I even
more
had problems last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are having more and more difficulty across the board everywhere.
Right.
And all we have to do is just be patient and remember this is our show, all of us together.
Right.
Right.
A lot of it depends. Now, if people go in and register, Bill,
yeah.
and you put on their save on your computer, you know, all you got to do is go back and click that link and it'll take you right to it. But everybody tries to sign in and out at this.
But even when I've gone to sign in, it doesn't show me what it should.
Right. Well,
And that's where my problem's been. It brings me to a whole different page, and it's like, oh, they don't want me to be there.
Yeah, and the bad part is out there, and you put the links out there, everything goes up for people to do that.
Right.
It's still screwing with everybody, and I don't know why. And I can't get an answer from the people who run this station.
Well, like I said, I even had problems last night.
Yeah.
That's why I figured I'm not even farting around with it. I'm just calling. It's just easier.
Well, you know, and basically, you know, when the cops subpoena thing off anybody's Facebook or anything like that, you know, this mm-hmm. show, whatever, the blog, whatever we're doing, and they're checking it out. Now, when you ask them, or you want to see, here's what Facebook sends the bill. It starts out, what does it say?
Confidential.
Okay. The information in this file is confidential material provided by Facebook solely in response to an officially sanctioned subpoena, court order, search warrant, or other legal information. Search warrant, subpoena of what we're doing.
Right.
We're not doing nothing
well,
here.
Well, you know, they watch. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, they watch everything. You know, it's a given. And, you know, I don't like to put things out there. You know, we get watched enough.
Exactly.
We try to put everything on the air open. A lot of the businesses that Philip and I have with the police departments and attorneys, et cetera, we do that privately because this is not a way we're trying to stroke our own ego.
Right.
I'm in Philip, but we had a meeting just on, was it last Friday, with... those people, blah, 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 yada, 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 yada. The reason we don't share this with everybody is, again, my concern is we want to get things accomplished, and I don't want to go on the air and say, we're doing this and we're doing this. We're stroking our own ego.
Right.
You know, and then it is a little taxing meeting in front of all the district attorneys and blah, 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 and recorders and everything in there. But we think it's our responsibility to keep doing it. And we're
right.
not worried about it. I just don't always share everything with everybody because it just sounds like I'm tooting my own horn. And anybody
right.
who knows me knows my damn head is ego so big anyway. I just don't want it to sound more pretentious.
Right.
Philip's pretty easy, but I'm a bit on the pretentious side.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. You got a lot of background noise.
Me? Oh, I'm sorry. I got to leave out of the room then. The Bulls game is in. I'm sorry. They're playing at home.
Okay.
You know, it's Blackhawks and Bulls night. Okay, and I'll be quiet. Okay, here we go. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, everybody says you got your TV on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you like sports.
But no, but the thing we were going to talk about just happened in Alabama the other day. And,
okay.
Now, where did this come from first? I want to know what information we got this from. I want people to realize that's not what we're just pulling out of our ass and all that.
This is
okay.
I'll put it in there right now.
Now, we're not saying this because we're trying to. We're saying this came up and we want to share it. That's
right.
And I'm
going to put it in right now.
Yeah. And then I want to comment after why I'm going to share it. Okay.
Okay.
Well, friend, it's not a different show. Somebody had their TV on in the background. And you should hear just me, Bill, and Nora talking right now. But if you want to call in, you can be the fourth person talking.
That's right, John.
But what this is, this came from the moralliberal.com, and this was published on the 11th, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Police to white victims. We don't mess with the black gang.
Okay.
So
I want you to bring that up. No, you talk about this. I want to do some commenting afterwards, okay?
Okay.
Let you,
well, you know, it's like most of us, this is how the story goes, but it's most of us have heard about how the media won't report on any white crime. We may also know that authorities sometimes sweep it under the rug due to political pressure, usually with a wink and a nod. I'm going to mute you for a minute.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm going to mute you for a minute. You still got background noise.
No, I just had to do something real quick. Now I'm quiet. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Freeze.
I'm okay. I'm quiet.
All right. Well, usually with a wink and a nod, but not so in rural Alabama, where the police actually told a white crime victim they don't mess with a local black motorcycle gang. The tragic event led to the shocking admission occurred on March 28th as a truck driver, Mr. Stokes, and his neighbor, Mr. Cooper, were heading out of Birmingham, hauling a portable cabin. While rounding a curve, one of Stokes' tires slipped and kicked up some gravel, which angered a black motorcycle gang member who was in close proximity. The gangster, part of the notorious something out of Alabama, gave chase and tried to force Stokes to pull over on the side of the road. Here's what happened next, as reported by the Macon Beacon, Scott Boyd, whose piece has been published online by J. Christian Adams. Motorcyclist then sped up and pulled in front of Stokes' F-250. He stopped in the middle of the road and forced Stokes to stop. He had jumped off his bike, came around to the passenger side, and hit the rear passenger window with a fist, but it didn't break. Stokes then made a quick decision to get out of there and pulled around the parked motorcycle. Stokes says he looked back in the rearview mirror as he pulled away. He noticed the biker rolling in the highway. He either tried to jump it back in the truck or onto the trailer and somehow slipped. Stokes said when he noticed the injured man flailing in the roadway, he stopped, worried about leaving the scene of an accident. Stokes said he was getting out of his truck to go to check on the biker when a woman in a red Jeep pulled alongside and shouted a warning. "You better get out of here, they got guns." That's when Stokes looked back down the highway and saw 30 to 40 bikes strong headed his way. "I jumped back in my truck and took off until I could find a busy intersection, and that's where I stopped." What happens next is Stokes and Mr. Cooper were immediately surrounded by a gang of bikers, all with black bandanas covering the bottom half of their faces. The gang forced them out of the truck and commenced their revenge attack. "After I saw the knife and felt the stabbings, I fell to the ground and played dead. I think that may have saved my life," he said. He didn't hear police sirens seconds later, as his friend Cooper had dialed 911 on his cell phone. But despite the authorities having identified the injured gangster as Mr. Clay out of Birmingham, none of the bikers were detained or even questioned, reports Boyd shockingly. And the silence is deafening. Boyd contacted the Birmingham News not only to be told that the incident wasn't newsworthy, and in fact, F.J. Christian Adams hadn't published a story at PJ Media, we probably never would have heard of it. Macon Beacon. It's so small that it doesn't even have a website. As for a relevant law enforcement agency, the Adamsville Police Department, its public affairs officer had not responded to Boyd's inquiries as of press time. Yet, it is not as if no answers at all. They told Stokes that there was nothing they could do. It would be impossible to identify those who actually wielded the knives. And then there was more shocking admissions made to both Stokes and Boyd by the Adamsville Police. "We don't mess with this gang out of Alabama." Wow, just wow. These guys sound like Barney Fife without guts, Bill.
Mm.
We used to hear stories about
law.
Huh?
No, I said I'd say so. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're used to hearing stories about law enforcement being intimidated by organized crime in such places as Colombia or Mexico. But in the U.S., if this is another example of how the sentiment of third worldism. Mr. Stokes reported the crime to the FBI, which had promised an investigation. The question is, will the agency do anything more than just go through the motions? I don't know, but there are three things for sure. First is, if it had an attack by a white gang and a black victim, the national media would be all over the story. Second, Eric Holder's DOJ would be getting involved like it has in the Trevor Martin case. And lastly, we can be sure that Barack Obama would get on his soapbox and accuse the Adamville police of acting stupid.
Now, where the hell's the ACLU at a time like this? This is something they should be looking for. I want to address this. I hope everybody's not too uncomfortable, but we seem to try to ignore it. All right, we have people of different skins, and we have people of different regional differences. For example, Alabama versus California, Texas versus New York. Okay. I try to give each person a chance to prove to me they're a man. If I accept them as a man, then they can tell me they're black man, yellow man, Chinese man, whatever it is with them. If I don't accept you as a man, don't worry about what color you are, because if I don't accept you, I ain't going to accept you no matter what the hell color you are. I have, over the course of the years, and I have gotten obviously a lot of riding in there, understood the fact that there are some white people that will never, ever accept the black people. All right. I've accepted the fact that over the years there are many, many, many black people that said, Bill, we never, ever want to be with white people. I'm not here to change the world. You people, that's extra burden on your shoulders. You deal with it. I know there's a black club in San Diego. They bought a bar, and they changed it into a private club, which means they can smoke cigarettes in, they do what they want. It's all members only. Well, every now and then, I stop in the bar, and have a Coke. Not an awful lot, but just every blue moon. And I know my being there, some of the guys generally say, Bill, we're glad you came. And I know some of the black guys are saying, I don't know what the fuck you come here for. Because I'm an American, I'm going to come and go as I want.
That's correct.
Good.
That's correct. If there'd been a bunch of white guys doing it, Bill, to a black guy, it'd be another story.
Yeah, exactly. So I continue, and a lot of my friends go, I don't know why you bought stop, go to black bars. Because of the fact that they have to understand that again, I'm an American citizen. I'm going to travel on American roads. And the black people that can put up with the white people, then they're going to be happy to see me. The black people that can't put up with the white people, well, it's not just your bar, it's your whole club bar. And unfortunately for you, I have enough people in your club that want me there. I do not expect in my lifetime tolerance. But I ask you this, respect the man next to you. If you don't respect him, don't worry about what color he is. If you do respect him, give him a chance to show you that he's a man first, and then he can be a black man and call he wants with that. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to say it's a let's make it a big world all together. It's not going to happen in my lifetime.
Fran wants to chime in.
We have a caller on the air. Fran wants to jump in. Fran, can you jump in and comment anything I said if you want, dear?
Well, I have a little bit of age like you and lineage. I don't know if, again, because I'm a woman, but I've not had any difficulty with patch holders and clubs. As you know, John and I, the only patch we ever wore was the debate patch. We were always welcome in any group. Of course, we were not allowed to ride in the group, in the back of the group, which was never a problem because that is a code, and I respect that. As far as, you know, race goes, I have some issues with that, but I have issues with that for different reasons.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us, please.
Well, way back, some time ago, for example, the Tawana Brawley case, which was in New York, actually in
correct,
my home.
Yes.
And this was a young girl, teenager, who didn't want to go home because she was going to get a beating or a scolding, whatever. So she.
And Brother Al Sharpton ran right in and took her case because he was going to be her white knight, or in this case, her black knight. And then what happened, please?
Then what happened is the accused officer that was supposedly who molested her slash raped her, because of all of the outcry and so forth, he committed suicide in Wappingers Falls. To be honest with you, I was never afraid to be in my hometown. The black churches from where my aunt had the pizza stand, when there were the riots before Tawana Brawley, would call us and say, look, if there's any problems, call the church and we will be there to help you. So I was never afraid in my own hometown until Al Sharpton and the other two were busing people in from New York, and I was actually considering, you know, going different streets because I didn't know if they were going to turn my car over.
Wow.
And that's some pretty bad stuff. And when I say that I'm a little brazen, I was 100 miles from the riots back in whenever that was, going down to Florida. I was in my 21 years old, so I was, yeah, that was 40-some years ago. You want to know what? That didn't scare me. What they did in Poughkeepsie scared me. I don't like the race card being thrown until the information is out. Now, what I didn't like was the boxer made a comment on air or something where he said, and nobody has shot this guy yet. So all of a sudden, we're now becoming vigilantes and passing, you know, judgment. I thought that's what the courts were for. And it doesn't seem to always go in the correct direction. Like I said, I have a little lineage behind me, and I believe in fairness. You can ask anybody, almost anybody, that isn't afraid of me, that would tell you the same thing. I mean, I'll stop for any biker that's stuck on the side of the road, and I don't care what patch is on his back. Of course, I've scared them, too. It's like a lady actually stopping for a biker stuck on the road. Yes. I don't have a bit of problem with that. I pulled over and actually took gas out of my tank to put it in someone else's tank. Done that more than once. But I've never had a bit of problem with different patches. I mean, that may just be me. I don't wear a patch.
Well, Fran, I've felt that I've always been, I think you were one of the few people to understand the fact that I have got respect from pretty much every major organization. But respect, that comes with respect as a man. And I try to tell everybody again, I give you one opportunity for me to respect you as a man. If I can't respect you as a man, I don't care what color you are. If I can't respect you as a woman, I don't even care. You got to prove to me by your lifestyle that you're somebody that I give respect to. I've been blessed, as you know, with all my years and all the stuff that I've been doing over all the stuff here, where I do have the respect of all the clubs. It's something I had to work on. Nobody ever gave me that. I'm not the toughest fighter in California at all, but the force of all these years, the programs I've been in, the problems I've been in, the amount of work I've been doing, as you know, in the community, friend, that's respect that I've earned.
You know, Bill,
I give everybody that opportunity.
And you know, Bill,
yes,
I'm glad you touched on that because I've earned that respect also.
Yes, 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 you have.
And that's the whole thing right there. You earned it. You didn't go to grab it. You didn't try to take it. You had to earn it. And that's why you have the respect that you do. Same as you, Fran.
Like I earned respect.
The problem is with the young puppies that are coming in. And part of it's our fault because, number one, we're not teaching what the code is. Number two, you don't step out of line. I don't care what fucking patch you have on your back. You do not step out of line. And I know that you know what I'm talking about, Bill.
We've had two incidents the past couple of weeks, and I don't want to go into details right now, which we have major club problems.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this because I want to agree with Fran. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the younger members have been schooled correctly.
No.
Second thing, I want to talk about this here. The old guys, us old farts, we're in the bar. We tell a few tales about what happened. The younger guys, the new patrol is coming in, they don't have any tales. They don't have any stories to tell. They're the ones who are going to start a fight somewhere because they're tired of hearing us old guys tell stories.
Right, they're coming in kind of like the movie Young Guns, you know.
Yeah.
They're coming in fast and furious, you know.
Yeah.
Without the history or a background behind them, like the old school guys. You know, the old school guys are more calm, they're set back, they know what's going on. The younger guys come in, it's like rush, 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 do, 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 and it's like, whoa, wait a minute, slow down, you know.
The older guys can see the big
schooling.
The older guys can see the big picture, and the younger guys, and I've got two instances I'm working with right now where younger guys started shit. And again, remember, if you're in a bike club, if one person starts it, every single buddy is responsible. Every single buddy is going to be involved. We don't necessarily want some of the wars that are going on right now. We're trying to negotiate something in there, and it's because of what the young guys did. The young guys didn't see the big picture.
Right.
That's why you got to keep the old guys around. I'm not saying back down from anybody. I'm saying see the big picture.
Right.
If you're going to go to war
with
the club, you better look at your numbers. Do you have the numbers?
Right.
Sometimes it's simply a matter of...
it ain't even the numbers, though.
Yeah.
It's just fucking... Yeah. It's knowing your place.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a great example right there. You know your place.
Right.
You know, it's like... Like right now, I got this one today, Bill. Art also sent me this one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are going to enjoy this. And Fran, listen very closely to what I'm going to say here. Motorcyclists face terrorism charges thanks to a noisy exhaust. Get that, Bill?
Terrorist.
You want me to repeat that?
Terrorist, huh?
Motorcyclists face terrorism charges thanks to noisy exhaust. Happened in Mexico City, Bill.
Mexico.
Being linked to a loud noise in Mexico could lead to terrorism charges. This is a country, after all, traumatized by drug violence. That's why a crowd in northern Mexico was sent into a panic stampede when the exhaust pipes of two motorcycles backfired, sounding like gunshots. Now the two motorcyclists are facing terrorist charges, Bill.
Oh, my God.
The second time in less than a year that people have been charged in Mexico under terrorism statutes for spooking the populace in areas of the country hit by drug violence.
Go ahead. What about a vehicle? I'm sorry.
No, and whatever makes a loud noise.
Right.
Officials state that the criminal codes often lack lesser but more appropriate charges to handle situations involving acts that may be irresponsible but are hardly a criminal. The two motorcyclists were leaving their workplace Saturday evening at a store near the main square of the northern city of San Luis Potosi, where an Easter wheat festival was being held. The two got on their bikes and fired them up, and that's when the confusion began. There are two versions. Version one: the motorcyclist said it was just usually warming up their engines, state police said. But there are witnesses who say it purposely continued to rev their engines even after people had started to panic. Because the backfiring of the engine sounded like popping of gunshots, hundreds of people in the main square who were celebrating Holy Week, this event that involves the burning of papier-mâché figures representing villains, started to stampede out of the square seeking cover. But the streets were nearly blocked by vendor stalls selling traditional Mexican food, causing the crowd to pile up and resulting in the people getting trampled. That, not the motorcyclist's engines, was the real problem, according to the State Human Rights Commission. See, not a state... They jumped on it. It's like the ACLU up here, who said it launched an investigation into the arrest. There's a possible blame that can be attributed to the city authorities, who allowed vendors to set up in the stands in the square without the appropriate controls, which prevented a rapid evacuation. But now here's the spin. They also noted that two suspects say they had been beaten by the police after their arrest.
Oh, down there, they'll club
you in a heartbeat. So it seemed like a tempest in a teapot, but if the two men weren't facing possible sentences of 5 to 20 years, Bill, 5 to 20 years, while that seems a little harsh punishment for just a noisy exhaust, he said such irresponsible behavior is a real problem for states like San Luis Potosi, where drug gang gun battles have terrorized residents in recent years. And that's where they killed the two DEA guys, Bill, in that suburban.
What the hell was DEA doing in Mexico? We all know they were doing, we know.
Exactly. They were probably bringing
guns. They were selling guns in there, as we know what's going on right now. Strange thing about Mexico, too, I want to point out, is like wear a headband around our face and all that. You know, if it's cold and all that,
right. That
is a major felon. That is a major fine in Mexico.
Yeah, it is.
They think that if you got a face mask on or you got your headband over your face, you're getting pulled over. That's a ticket, if not even more. Mexico's so paranoid.
You know, it's even more sad and terrible that instead of learning from the Veracruz case, they are committing the same errors and same violations of human rights. The authorities believe that they had limited success in battling the drug gangs, so instead focused on easier targets, common citizens whose acts sometimes cause panic. I think they're really behind us in what they want to tell the public. Here we are really investigating. Here's the proof that the police are doing their jobs. After the Veracruz case became a freedom of speech issue, the state proposed changing laws to create something closer to a charge of disturbing the peace to avoid having to use terrorist charges again. San Luis Potosí is hoping to do the same, but note authorities are between a rock and a hard place. That's the problem. They ask you to apply the law. When you apply the law, then all sorts of justifications and criticisms come up. And this is done by the Associated Press bill.
Okay, now, is Mexico attached to Cuba or Colombia? Because
negative.
That's something you would hear in Cuba and Colombia. I know it's not geographically, but it's almost like you're in Cuba or Colombia.
No, Mexico's entity unto itself and all that. Interesting enough, Mexico is in the map, and I love to tell my Mexican friends this. It just pisses them off. If you look at the map under Mexico, it says North America.
Right.
You look at America, it says, you look at the United States, it says North America. So you tell the Mexican people, you're not Mexican, you're North Americans. That just irritates the hell out of them.
Right.
Below Mexico is Central America. Below Central America is South America. But if you want to irritate your good Mexican neighbor, you just tell him, I look at the map. I understand you're from North America. Oh, does that get on their bad case early in life?
Well, I mean, it's geographically stated. There is nothing they can do to change it.
No. And it's just like, I got another article that came out. And this is off the... it's about Stand Your Ground. And the laws that they're going to make now. Okay? Since that Trevor Martin and Stand Your Ground laws, the Trevor Martin case has drawn national attention, which the guy's going to get charged with second degree murder.
He turned himself in today, I heard.
Yeah. So the guy you were talking about Tuesday, Nora, his name was Bobby Rush, sporting a booty on the floor.
Right, because he's from Chicago here. Right.
Well, his name is Bobby Rush. Anyway, he was wearing a hoodie on the house floor to the numerous protests in the cities across the U.S. Many folks are asking how this kind of a killing can be considered legal. It all hinges on Florida's Stand Your Ground law, which also known as the line in the sand, and no duty to retreat law. This law allows citizens to use deadly force in self-defense. They stipulate that a person has no duty or other requirements to abandon a place in which he or she has the right to be or to give up ground to an assailant. So basically, this is now, Florida has it, and Indiana just started it the other day, Bill. You can shoot the cops if they come into your house without a warrant.
If they're correct, without a warrant, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it all hinges on line in the sand, no duty, right? Put simply, if you're confronted on the street by a person with a knife, you can use deadly force in your defense. However, the laws have only been enacted in some states: Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, Montana, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas, Utah, Washington, and West Virginia. A number of other states are still considering some form of the law. An important part of the George Zimmerman and Trevor Martin case will center around whether Zimmerman reasonably believed he was about to be seriously harmed by Martin. There are countless variables in he said, she said case like this, and actual evidence will weigh heavily. George Zimmerman may avoid criminal liability and even civil wrongful death liability since Florida provides immunity for those acting under this law.
Yeah.
Well, this was posted before the guy got arrested for second-degree murder.
Right. But the family doesn't want to accept a second-degree complete.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to be first degree murder.
They're accepting it at the moment because if they don't, they'll lose it.
I know. I understand that, Fran. I'm just saying, you know, what I saw with the family. They're, you know, on the news, they were just put to be tied. But you know what? It's a start. It's a conviction. That's the bottom line.
Well, it's not a conviction until the guy goes through court.
Right.
No, the man's still innocent. He's still innocent until he goes right. Yeah.
Right.
Let's not.
Race never came into it, and they're still trying to investigate who tampered with the 911 phone call.
That was a guy from Fox News who has been fired.
Right.
Oh, I know.
He doctored the tape.
Right.
Which doesn't help anything. I do want to get back to Mexico, though, since that's so close to home.
Right.
In Mexico, that I didn't know about the bandana on the face. Because I've been to Mexico many a times with a bandana on my face. Where
not
I was
recently,
ready,
friend.
Oh, recently.
Friend, not
okay.
Recently.
And speaking of Mexico, we have a request from Art Bill. He wants you to remind everybody of remind all of us of the no lane splitting in Arizona, Bill.
Oh God, yes. And I'm going to be going, and you and I are both going to Arizona. You're in prison coming up here in 2 weeks. This is a serious violation if you split lanes in Arizona. Now, I also want to tell people that are coming from California to the party in 2 weeks. You can take your helmet off once you cross the border. You must have eye protection on 24 hours a day. If you don't have clear sunglasses on, you're in deep shit. You can take your helmet off if you want, but eye protection is unbelievable. And also, do not do that California lane splitting thing. These people are vicious over here. Right. Arizona police have me for 20 minutes trying to read the Riot Act to me and all this crap.
If they don't have clear sunglasses, can they use the goggles?
Yes, they can. Anything that's eye protection. You can have tinted glasses on at night time. They don't care. As long as the bugs. See, California, Arizona's got a lot more of the agricultural area than we do. And there is bugs everywhere out there.
I know that you had stated about the eyewear, and I thought, well, what about goggles? There are some people that wear the goggles.
Sure, absolutely okay.
Okay.
But you got to watch out, too. I should warm out I don't know why I'm doing this. Right-hand turns at a red light. Be careful. Arizona don't play that game.
No.
And I break that law probably every time I go to Arizona because I come to a stop sign, a red light, excuse me, light's red, no traffic, I go. Then afterwards I go, oh, shit, I wasn't supposed to do that. Well, I've been warned a couple times, but so far I haven't got a ticket. So.
Well, that's like that day I stopped and you kept going and they took your picture.
Thinking it, you know, if you were my partner, you'd have run the red light with me. If I was going to jump off, if you were going to jump off the bridge, I'd have jumped off the bridge with you. So if you saw me run the red light because it was in my way, you should have run the red light with me.
Right.
Pointing that out.
Okay, need a clarification. If I am not mistaken, California is the only state at this time that you can white line, lane split, whatever you'd like to call it.
Well, they tried it in Phoenix last summer, and I never heard the outcome of it. So if you can't do it, it must not have been too good.
And of course, because Fran, we're so close to Mexico. It's legal in Mexico.
Well, Mexico, I mean, you know that I ride my own bike. I don't ride in the back except for when I had balls on my foot. And even then, John, as good as he was, I only rode on the back of his bike, I think, 3 times and had my eyes closed the whole time. But what was interesting is in Mexico, when we would go through the toll booths, they would let John through.
Yes.
Well, the novelty of the people collecting money at the tolls, which are always guys, they would hold me up because I was a woman.
Are you serious?
Well, yeah. Well, they're first off, they were at off, a little bit stacked, and I probably was wearing something a little low at the time. Whatever. But it was interesting because they were totally at awe at the fact that a woman was riding her own bike. And, I mean, let's face it, well, I'm not going to run a toll booth.
Right.
Fran, what's killed me about the tolls over the years, if I'm rolling down with a group of 20 people, I pull up to the tolls, I say, look, 10 people, two rows, count them, 20, let's just say the toll is a dollar. So here is $20 for 20 people. And they say, no, senor, each one must pay separately. That just puts that traffic back. Why they can't figure that out over the course of years, I don't understand it there. We've had some large runs where 100 bikes cross the border. I said, look, just do a quick count here. We'll give you all the money up front. No, no, senor. Each bike must stop. Each bike must pay. Oh, Christ, there's 20 minutes.
Half hour last time.
The El Centro, this was a couple years back, AMA was doing that three country run.
Yes, huh?
And
Canada down to Mexico. Three flags,
that's it. They were going from Mexico up instead of down. And
right.
So, okay, they were doing the three flags. I was there representing AMA, and I got in the wrong lane. Excuse me, I can't understand the Mexican sign that says, you know, coal, cars, whatever, only in this lane.
Correct.
So they hung up, and it was really, really hot, and I started getting heat exhaustion. And I kept telling the guy, I'm not doing well. He says, we ought to make you go back and go through the line all over again, yada, yada, yada. Well, finally, they let me go. I see the supervisor, and he's got a hose. Well, you know what? I never even turned the bike off. I put that kickstand down, and I hosed myself down. All of a sudden, they realized that what they just put me physically in jeopardy. At that point, he was actually afraid to let me on the bike to continue into El Centro to the hotel. What was interesting from that, it must have... between the AMA and knowing that the Three Flags was going through and that incident that night, the night before it, they let everybody through without incident.
Now, Fran, I want to point this out because this is very clear. You are not referring to the Mexican authorities. You're referring to our own American authorities when you come across the border. Is that correct?
Oh, correct. You're right. Yes. You're right. Yes. It would be
that,
American.
Mexican. That is our own American authorities, which are very abusive, abrasive to us Americans coming back, and I have no idea why.
Well, you know, Bill, if you're wearing a bandana,
yeah,
okay, it's terroristic. Well, here in California, or anywhere, it's probable cause, because they say you're concealing your identity.
Right. Oh, you know, Fran, very quickly, I want to add a short story. Fran, I know you'll love this story. My wife's brother, therefore my brother-in-law, he does the Three Flags every single year. And he came down from up Northern California. He was started in Mexico and worked his way up there. Spent a night at my house. Next day he was going to go over. So I'm thinking the way I'm thinking, Harley Davidson. We had a nice dinner and all that. And I said, well, listen, why don't you and I go out in the garage and we'll go over your bike? And he said, what do we go over? I said, well, we'll check everything on your bike. He said, why would we check my bike out? I said, did you check your bike before you left? And he said, no. Bike out. He says, oh, my God, I keep forgetting, Bill. You have a Harley Davidson. He said, I have a Moto Guzzi. They just run. We don't need all that shit. In my mind, without checking the motorcycle, it was absolutely crazy. But... that damn Moto Guzzi of his just went all the way, three countries, no muss, no fuss. That's definitely a Harley story there.
And here I have a Magna Honda with,
yep.
And I've got a battery issue, which means that it's not charging, which means that I've got to actually change the stator in the dang thing so that it will keep charging my battery.
Yep.
Good thing I got a second bike, which means that this Sunday, because isn't this Sunday the blessing of the bikes?
Yes, it is.
Because then I may have to take my backup bike to go up there.
Uh-huh.
That's...
We have a caller on the line, 441. Jump in, say hello to us, please. Tell us who you are and where you're from, please.
Yeah, it's Katie from Scotland.
Hey!
Nice to talk to you again. Stop laughing.
Girls night out tonight. I like that.
That's
I like having women.
So nice to... Well, I had to talk to you again because the other night I had to go to work, and then tonight I was so annoyed by all the bloody phone calls from so-called, well, I won't say, but anyway, I was so tired the other night because I was up early, but thank you for accepting me tonight for the phone call.
No worries. I just saw you in there. I just saw you in the switchboard.
Well, thank you.
So how's everything over there?
Yeah, not bad.
No?
It's my first day off tonight, today and tonight. So I'm really, really delighted that I'm off today and tonight. It's been really, really good. It's been really, really good. It's been really, really good because I've never been off for ages, so it's really good tonight.
Didn't you say last week you have two jobs, actually, so you're quite
Yeah, so it's really good having just, like, one night and day off.
It almost feels like I like to use the word delicious, like you're just eating it candy, you're just laying there and you're going, I don't have to do a damn thing. Feels delicious.
No, it's really hard work, actually.
So,
whenever I get a chance to slough up, I never feel self-conscious about it. I figure I deserve it. But I'm not that hard
really
to work.
I really, really work hard during
work
the day. And I really, really work hard when I work at night. Because I have four sons, so I've got to work hard. I've got to work for my sons.
Wow.
There you go.
Maybe, though, your son's plan is to work hard and buy you a mansion so they can take care of you when you get a little bit older. Wouldn't
exactly.
that be a nice...
I mean, you know what? I think I was a rich bitch in the past life because now I'm being made to pay for it.
Well, you know, since...
Pardon?
Since when, mother?
Well, since you and Nora decided that this was... Naked or commando, whatever.
No, wait a minute. Art started it. Bill liked it, and we just went with it. So actually, Art started it, and we just went with it. So every Thursday is commando night.
Okay. So just to let Carrie know, you might want to give her a rundown of the songs we went through for Commando Thursday.
No, we're talking a lot of Kiss songs. Take it off. And that's a very direct message there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the old Kiss with the makeup and the new Kiss without the makeup. And I was commenting that I kind of like the old Kiss, the energy, I guess, with the makeup on. But not that I want to wear makeup myself. I'm just commenting on the music. But I like that. This is men. We're not that intelligent, so we have to simple sentences. Take it off. There, see.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing deep in
with that. How long have you been listening, or did you just decide to call in, Gary? Gary?
Yeah, it's fine. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Well, what happened was of course, Nora said Art started it, so we'll blame it on Art.
I'm blaming Nora.
I'm stating a true fact.
Art,
right.
It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Honestly,
but,
it doesn't matter.
I mean, the whole point is Thursday we call it Commando Night. So So Phil has picked out certain signs from Kiss in regards to take it off, lick it up. It's all different. It circles around just being commando, naked, naked Thursday.
It's gonna be one day, so let's have it that. Perfect people.
Tuesday is serious day. Thursday is naked day.
Right. I've got four sons to think about, so.
She can't run around naked, no.
Nah.
You know, can I tell everybody a dream I've had my whole life? I wanted to have some property where I could go out on my back porch naked. Now, I don't want the neighbors to get a look. Actually,
you
my
know
case,
what
I
can in Scotland?
I just want to have a little a privacy where people could say, I'm outside, I'm in my porch, I'm overlooking my property, I'm naked, and nobody is close enough to even care. That's all I'd like to have, you know? I just don't want neighbors so close to me that I have to put my clothes on all the time.
Well, if they're if they were close, you'd have to start working out.
My natural prowess should. I just want to go out and pick up my newspaper naked. I don't see what the problem with that is, you know?
No.
And yet, you know, they act like I'm trying to.
I showed you the ESPN naked sports.
There we go. Would you have any nudist colonies and all that? I'm just saying that one day in my life, I'd like to have a property big enough I could go out naked and feed my dog. Go out naked, pick up my newspaper, and come back inside the house. Only in my own little area.
Yeah, I understand that. And I'm too tired to do that.
Yeah,
well, I'm not too tired to see that, but I'm too tired to do that.
Yeah, because what is it? Almost 3 a.m. your time, isn't it?
Oh, bloody hell. It's like maybe 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
Okay. I was close.
I can't even get my bloody DVD on right now.
Hold on
till I switch it on.
Well, Art said Sniper Night seemed a little over the top.
Yeah.
It's not fair. You're all having a bloody good time, having a giggle, and I'm trying to have a giggle, and I have to go to bed.
You can stay a bit longer, please. You can stay a bit longer. By the way, Art, are you going to be at my bike shop?
He said definitely, Bill.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Thank you very much, Art. Okay. We have a big party coming up this weekend in Southern California, and I got friends coming in from all over, so I'll just check.
Stop making me so jealous. Seriously, stop it.
You just have to fly over.
You know what? The biggest thing in Scotland is going on this weekend is a car boot sale at the weekend.
Well, hopefully,
you always
have to fly over, Carrie.
Hmm? That was a joke, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no one gets it. That was a joke.
I'm sorry.
No, it was a last joke. Car boot sale and all that. That's the biggest thing that's going on in Scotland this weekend. Bloody hell.
Well, see, that's why you need to take a flight.
The pictures of the event we're doing, maybe. You're going to put some up on the screen, maybe?
Yes.
So if you guys want to, we're doing this weekend a monster event, like 500 people at my shop. And then the following week, Screwdriver and I are going to be in Arizona.
All right, we'll kill you all.
We invite anybody wanted to meet us. I'm and Philip and I are going to be at a very immature adult party on Friday night, so don't look for me on Friday night. But anybody look for me on Saturday, I will be in front of the Victor McLaughlin drill team on Saturday morning about 10 o'clock, I think it is. I think I can get up early for that. But for those, anybody that's listening to us that are going to be in the Arizona motorcycle run, do not look for me Friday night because the hotel I'm staying at is full of immature friends of mine. I have too much respect for you people to come to that party. But the next day, Saturday, come and talk to me. I'll be all around there. Maybe you can get pictures of that, not the party, but pictures of the event so everybody else can see that too.
Right.
Do we want to share with everybody what we're doing?
That would be nice to see. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, there's about 10 things going on, Bill. There's the, like, Saturday there's a party in San Diego at the clubhouse.
Yes.
And then there's another party up north. And then on Sunday, there's your bike blessing.
Right.
There's another party in El Cajon. There's another party in PB. And then there's the party up in Westminster. Rusty and T-Rod shop.
So we can't make them all. Well, the bike blessing, I want to point out, too, we have a friend of ours, a biker. He has a six-month-old daughter that's got some type of a liver cancer. She's not going to pull through. So we're going to have them down there a little bit. We're going to try to see what we can do to raise some awareness for this cancer for children. It's kind of an adult dying of cancer. That's the way it is, but... How the hell do you...
Good night, Cotton. That was really, really nice.
Yeah.
What you're doing for the kids over there. Really nice.
Nice things, yeah. As long as I can combine a motorcycle...
I really late here in Scotland.
Uh-huh.
Well, early in the morning.
If I can...
go ahead, friend.
Drifter was the minister, preacher, or whatever you want to give at my at John's memorial and so forth. And what I found interesting is everybody saying, "Stay strong, straight this and that." And I had to think about, and of course, you know, I'm so damn logical, and. Well, as I'm thinking about this afterwards, and I'm going to my head, and instead of saying, be strong, the better phrase, instead of saying that, is, I'm here if you need me. If you
Very
need
good.
Someone, I'm here to hold you. If you need someone to hold your arm for support, I'm here to do that. That is a much better thing to say and do than to say, stay strong. I mean, let's face it, I'm going to stay strong anyway, because at this point, I'd rather bow you over than to give in. But on the overall, that is definitely a better thing to say and do than to tell a person to stay strong. A person has to actually grieve in order... for it to become a reality and it's just something I think a lot of listeners have to understand about grieving. But that's part of it.
Yes, it is.
That's my two bits on that.
You know, Fran, I want to point out to everybody at your at John's funeral services, you had a whole guest of speakers, and I wasn't on it, and I wasn't expecting to speak that day. So much to my surprise, when they called me to the front and asked me to make a little eulogy, I was standing at the bottom of these very steep steps.
Yeah.
And since I didn't have a speech that day, I walked up the steps very slowly at about 10 steps to get to the top and then my little eulogy. Do you remember, Fran, that about the third or fourth step up, I almost fell on my ass? I was so concentrating on what I was going to say when I got up there, I wanted to pay attention to those steep steps. I almost took a header down there. Could you see that from the vantage point? Because a lot of other people saw it.
They were too busy looking at Fran when she took off that shirt she was wearing.
Maybe that's why I tripped. That could have been it, too. Yeah.
No.
You mean you've never seen a pair of boobs before and it made you fall?
I was walking up the steps. Fran, tell everybody, those are awful steep steps, right?
They're very, very steep. Yes. That's also why they
have a handrail, nothing. And she pulled the top off, and I've only got about three or four steps before I get up, and I got to give a eulogy. And
it's
a lot of stuff.
We lost Carrie.
Oh, Carrie, she probably passed out on us.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Bill, you did. You've never seen a pair of boobs and you fell.
Well, at a funeral, I'm going to give a eulogy. Walking up the steps, it caught me by surprise.
Well, you know what? We like to do that every once in a while. It's like we need to breathe, okay? So don't panic. You know, they're just boobs.
No, in my case, I'm afraid that the 2 days, I took a lot of people by surprise.
Yes.
And I scared a lot of people. But you know what? People aren't used to unusual behavior at a funeral.
Or you mean spontaneity. Yes.
This is not a funeral. This was a celebration of life.
And I've heard Fran's version of this. So, yes, she did something, was a celebration of life. Let the boobs air, okay? No biggie.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just laughing because I almost took a header down the stairs because I had too much on my pea brain. My brain could take so much, and then once, you know, I get confused and boobs in the picture.
Confused?
Oh, gee, the whole thing went wrong.
Wow, I didn't know boobs were confusing. Oh, too bad you don't have a Facebook page, Phil. You know, I'd load your page up with boobs. You'd be confused all day.
Hey, wait, now we started.
See this one? He directs the flow of blood in my body, and that's what kind of confuses me a little. It redirects
it. This is good.
I still got up and gave the little presentation, though.
Well, good for you.
I have to throw this in. Out of support for Bill.
Come on. I'm on the phone from Scotland. Let's go on with it.
Dennis Reamer, who was the person that I said, just stand there because I need you there. He didn't know that I was going to take my shirt off and give it to him. And he was just as flabbergasted and as shocked as everybody else was.
Yeah, that's no problem. You and him can take your shirt off. I can't even speak properly now. Take your shirt off in Scotland right now.
Really?
You can't or you can't?
Is it too cold over there or is it against the law over there?
It's against the law, but you know what? It's so exciting to be against
the law. It's against the law here, but, you know, people do it.
And you know what?
You just
my
don't get caught.
Stuck in my gums there when I was trying to talk. So I all got mixed up.
I try only to take my clothes off during warm weather. I don't need the cold weather and all that. You know, it goes with that.
And everybody has to put sunglasses on, Whitey.
No, I am white. So white. I'm Irish Catholic, and that is white as you get, I swear to God.
That's fine.
Well, I swear to God, in Scotland, it's freezing. Well, it was really nice today, actually. The sun was out. It was like 14 degrees, and we all had our bloody shorts on. Because in Scotland, when it's over 10 degrees, all our white legs come out, white arms. And we all think they were absolutely gorgeous. But we're absolutely white.
Here, you're
saying 10 degrees. Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mean like...
No, it's
Celsius
over there.
Country.
It's not Fahrenheit. It's Fahrenheit here. It's not Fahrenheit there. Celsius.
Yeah.
No. So
okay.
That was a joke. Oh, you missed it.
No, I caught it. That's why I asked.
Oh, but it's so good to laugh. It really is.
You need to spend more time in Scotland with a kilt on. And looking at the museums, and I'll take you to the nightclubs. Mm-hmm.
Well, here, since everybody's in the mood for a laugh, Bill, I want you to read this.
All right, this picture.
Oh, no.
Philip called Off the Wire. Okay.
Speak
Pocket
up.
Taser stun gun, a great gift for the wife. A guy who
purchased that one.
A pocket taser for their anniversary submitted this little.
But a taser gun.
Yes.
Yes.
Says last weekend, he saw something at Larry's Pistol and Pawn Shop that sparked his interest. The occasion was his 15th anniversary. He's looking for a little something extra for his wife, Julie. What he came across was a pocket purse-sized taser. The effects of a taser are supposed to be short-lived, with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, he brought the device and brought it home. Loaded two AAA batteries into the darn thing, pushed the button. Nada. He was disappointed. He learned, however, that if he pushed the button and pressed it again against a metal surface at the same time, he'd get the blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. The blue arc of electricity darting back and forth. Awesome. Unfortunately, he had yet to explain to his wife, Julie, what the burn spot is on the face of the microwave. Yeah, you know, you got to work with that. Okay.
Okay.
The guy's home alone. You jumping in right now.
Okay,
brother.
So the guy's home alone with his new toy, thinking to myself that it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? Well, there I sat in my recliner, my cat Gracie looking intently trusting little soul. I was reading the directions and thinking that I really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood moving target. I must admit, I thought about zapping Gracie at first, and then thought better of it. She's such a sweet cat, but if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against the mugger, I didn't want some assurance that it would be well advertised. Am I wrong? So I sat there in my pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose. Directions in one hand, taser in the other. Directions said that a 1 second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A 2 second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasms to bodily control. And a 3 second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water.
I want the two second burst because I want muscle spasms and then I want a major loss of body control, body fluid. So I want two buttons. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. So any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries.
Yeah.
All the while looking at this little device measuring about 5 inches long and 3/4 inch in circumference, loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries, pretty cute really, thinking to myself, no possible way. What happened next is almost beyond description, but I'll do my best.
There we go. So he's sitting there alone. He looked back to one side as to say, don't do it, stupid. Reasoning that for a second burst from such a little old thing couldn't hurt all that bad, he decided to give himself 1 second burst just for the heck of it. He touched the prongs to his naked thigh, pushed the button, and...
Holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction. What the fuck? I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan ran in the side door, picked me up in a recliner, and then body slammed us both on the carpet over and over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in the fetal position with tears in my eyes, body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, with my left arm tucked under my in the oddest position and tingling in my legs. The cat was making meowing sounds I had never heard before, clinging to a picture frame above the fireplace, obviously in an attempt to avoid getting slammed by my body flopping around all over the living room.
Now remember, if you ever feel self with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. You will not let go of the thing until the hand is crashing on the floor. A 3 second burst would be conservative.
A minute or so later, I could be sure as time was relative at that. Collected my wits, my head left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. Bent reading glasses were on the mantle of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down and about 8 feet or so from where it was originally. My triceps, right thigh, and both nipples were still twitching. My face...
Oh, my God. I need to lick my...
My bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. I had no control over Julie. Apparently, I crapped in my shorts but was too numb to know for sure. The smell was gone.
I saw a faint smoke cloud above my head, which I believe came from my hair. He's still looking, and he's offering a significant reward for their safe return. P.S. His wife can't stop laughing about this experience, loved the gift, and now regularly threatens me with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid.
You know, I understand that women have praise and accoutrements, but you know what? I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy. I just want to kind of work with my own.
You sound an old-fashioned guy, baby. Oops. Okay. Carry on.
I think men should make love the way God planned it. One man and two women. Mm-hmm. That should be.
Carry on, because I've lost the end of my cigarette. Carry on.
Because basically,
hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Carry on.
Okay. No, I was going to the next story here. I'm just trying to pull it up.
Too bad you can't watch him. He's pulling it up. He's pulling it up. When it's kind of sad over here.
You can't watch me then, eh?
I will. But.
Carry on.
He's trying to pull something up here. He's pulling his thing again, you know? Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
Mm-hmm.
You
got something out of Canada, Bill.
Oh,
you guys, they're using a law that they rarely used, Bill. And they invoked it to arrest some of the club guys up there.
Well,
even though they weren't charged with an offense, Bill. At least seven of the motorcycle clubs, Manitoba chapter, have been arrested in Winnipeg using peace bonds, part of Canada's criminal code that allows for the arrest of someone likely to commit a crime offense for the benefit of a criminal organization. Rarely used law, Bill. Does it sound like RICO?
Wow, that's a reversion of it to me, yeah.
Any lapses make the person subject to criminal arrest and prison for breaching the bond. Peace bond arrests also resulted in police confiscating vehicles and other property under the Criminal Property Forfeiture Act.
You know, one of the sad things about this here is...
it's fucking crazy.
We have a friend of ours, and I don't want to use the name right now, nor the club. He was in the clubhouse, and two guys said they're going to kill this other guy. The party I was going to refer to, not by name... He was sitting in the clubhouse. He wasn't in the conversation. He was in the room. And they ended up getting him 5 years. Conspiracy before the fact, conspiracy after the fact.
Yep.
Even though he didn't do a damn thing.
Nope.
He wasn't involved in it. He wasn't involved in the conversation. But because he was a club member and his club talked about killing somebody, he's doing 5 years.
Yep.
And there's nothing he can do about
and,
it.
And the sad part is, Bill... They got them off their phones.
Yeah. If you're going to join a motorcycle
party. Hi. Sorry. I'm just sitting here back listening, and it's not my business. So I'm going to say goodnight to all you.
All righty.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Tonight?
Yeah, no problem.
Why don't you stay in bed real late tomorrow morning, okay? Just enjoy the luxury of sleeping in late, okay?
Yeah. Totally.
Okay, well, good night then.
Okay, good night, guys. Have a really good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night. You know, that's kind of nice having
four
kids.
We got a caller from 415, Bill.
415, you want to tell us who you are and where you're from, please?
Hi, Phil. No, this is Mark from Long Beach again. I think I called in last week, or I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, that was Tuesday, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'll call it 415. That's my cell phone. Exactly what you guys just talked about, that peace bond. I was hoping you guys would talk about that. It's kind of hard to understand how they can go ahead and arrest someone. They haven't committed any crime, haven't done anything, and then keep them in custody until they agree to these certain conditions. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I know that's not happening here, but, I know you guys probably have a lot of friends in Canada who could be affected by something like this. So I was wondering how you felt and what you had to say.
Oh, it is happening here. It's called the Patriot Act. They can now legally hold you and not have to charge you, and they can hold you as long as they want.
I see.
In fact,
when I was a young man, I want you to know that they used to pull me over on a Saturday night late, take me down to the police station, release me about 3 or 4 in the morning. I never was charged. The fact is, I was on a Harley-Davidson, I was a young man, and at that point in time, they said, well, the best thing to do is keep these troublemakers off the, out of the bars. We'll bring them in for questioning. So even though I never was questioned, I never was charged, they pulled me off the street. They have used tools, and they would have never done that if I wouldn't own a motorcycle. They never would have done it if I knew my rights like I knew today. But they have used tools to manipulate and control the populace. That's all across the board. Motorcycles, non-motorcycles, everybody. The question of the problem we're having against the prosecuting attorneys and everything is that they go after you for 25 years, and they're going to pound you and pound you and pound you, and you're going to agree to plea for maybe 2 or 3 years. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to make everybody paranoid. Philip and I have friends in jail that are doing time who have committed no crime, but they've agreed to take the 2 or 3 years instead of going to court when they're told that the judge will be slapping them with 25 years. Now, I'm saying 25 years because we're not going to use the man's name, but a friend of ours right now is facing 25 years for something.
To life.
He didn't 25 to life. He didn't do squat. But they're going to squeeze him, and they're going to get the plea bargaining. He may do 2 or 3 years, and so he doesn't go to court.
Sure,
that country
that's
we live in.
How it- Oh,
what's happening in this country?
Because I want, Mark, I want you to understand something. On March 18th, Commerce secretly signed the Patriot Act again. He spent $2 billion on a 25,000-square-foot data center in the Utah desert. Homeland Security spent millions on just 450 rounds of ammo to protect the government from its people. But in Utah, it's called the NSA Spy Center, where they store everything. The following are excerpts from what they've done so far. Every American should know about this, but I'm going to put that article up in the chat room, so if you're able to do it, or you can go on the blog and just type in New Utah NSA Spy Center, it'll come right up.
Yeah, I think I actually, you posted on the blog previously, right?
That's correct.
Yeah
we
I did
it
see,
a
did
couple
see
shows
that.
Ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I did see that on there. I kind of skimmed over it kind of quickly.
Right, because right now, every once in a while, you'll hear somebody jamming us up here, and that's what they're doing. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. They just don't want us on the air.
Right.
Or, you know, let me ask you this. How many batteries on your phone, Mark?
Two.
How many batteries? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, in Yucaipa, you showed me the phone trick.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
I met up with you in Yucaipa. No, I didn't meet up with you, but I ran into you in Yucaipa, and I told you that I'd been listening to the show, and you had me paranoid over this phone thing, and you took the time to show me the battery trick.
It's not being paranoid. I mean, if you don't want to do that and you're at home, you can always power your phone off, set it inside your microwave.
Sure. I mean, I have no reason to be paranoid, but just the fact that somebody could do something like that, or government could do something like that, that's what everyone should be concerned about.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't know it's not just your phone, it's your cable box. There are so many factors that are in play in regards to surveillance, and it's getting more intense. And once the center is functional to the point of where they want it to be, it doesn't matter, your house phone, your cell phone. I mean, everything will be heard.
They're gonna,
what you
they'll
do
be
online,
able to,
everything.
They'll be able to check
so,
your software for every email, phone call, and tweet as they zip by.
Right.
Sure.
So say if you're doing pornographic pictures to your wife or whoever is your significant other, well, guess what? They just seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Now, what would be for two consenting adults is not proper for them. But they'll know everything you do, everything
that,
you say, everything
sure.
you write.
Right.
So you have to be protected from yourself. Our government, I've said this before over and over, if my grandparents who were dead were to wake up today, they would not know where they are.
Yeah, I know you mentioned this before, you know, our rights slowly chipping away. I was thinking about what you had said. I think when I was in, you know, going to grammar school, for example, you know, I'm in my mid-40s now. In grammar school and in grade school, you learned about, you know, individual rights. It's a big part of what you learn in school as you're growing up, and it doesn't seem to be so important anymore.
No.
I'm going to put some links up in the chat room right now. The first one is NSA alliance with all the internet carriers.
With phone carriers.
Yes. The next one is Homeland Security snooping on all your internet traffic.
Yes.
Sure. This show here is being threatened because the government says that they want to make it better. And reality is we are one of the few bastions left of freedom. People can talk back and forth about whatever they want to talk about. This scares the government. In Mexico, they're afraid of their citizens getting weapons and guns. Here in America, they're afraid of their people getting information.
And you know, Bill, everybody down there that we know has guns.
Yeah, they do.
Well, you know, the worst part about it, too, Mark, is say if you do, like me, food shopping once a month, okay? Now you're considered a terrorist because you're stacking up on food.
Yeah, for more. Basically, what it is if you have waterproof ammunition, you're a terrorist. If you have more than 14 days worth of food in your house, you're a terrorist.
You're a terrorist. And now this is crazy, because some people, you know, they look at ridiculous to go once a week, you know, to do a $50 shop where once a month they just knock it all out, and in between you're just going and getting your milk, your bread, your
perishables. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, but got a few stockpile, you're a terrorist. If they have bottled water on sale for, say, $2.99, you get 24 packs, you're a terrorist, because it's longer than 14 days.
Like in the 30s, most Germans didn't see it coming either, but when they did, it was too late. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want to comment about this. I don't want to deviate, but I'm amazed during World War II how many Jewish Germans went to war, because they want to prove how good Germans they were. And yet the whole thing of the Nazis, they knew what was happening to their own people. But yet, if you had a quarter or half a Jewish in you, they joined the army and they fought bravely. World War One, we had great German Jew fighters and all that. So I don't understand. If my own people were being destroyed, I think I'd have to just say, time to pack my bags and leave. I don't know why all the Germans, Jewish, didn't leave Germany. I know the ones tried to, but...
And I just put that link up in there for everybody to read this.
All right.
Sorry, I'm not there because I have such a hard time logging in.
Marion, for those links, that they're not links. Those are the stories that are on that link that's on the bottom.
Marion, come on the air tonight. Talk to us.
Where's the NSCA data center?
Yeah. Marion, come on the air. Talk to us.
1, 2, 3, 4. The first four things that I put up there are all under that last link.
Marion, come on the air.
Talk up.
Where's Marion?
Mark, you know, just what you're saying going on here and going on in Canada, have you looked at what's going on in Australia?
In Australia, yes.
I don't recall, anyway, at the moment. What is it?
Okay. Well, basically, they said that they're putting in a no association law where you and I, Bill, couldn't have this phone call.
Right, three of us. Yeah.
And I and Bill could not talk or see each other, communicate in any way. If we did, we'd go to jail for 3 years.
One of the liberties they took away from the guys in Canada, or you have a right in America to confront your accuser in court. They don't do that in Canada anymore. People can file the charges against you, and the court can have the court officer, court reporter, or a police officer read the charges. You don't even have to have the person accusing you be in court with you.
No. And I'm going to put two links in the chat room.
This is all fact. He's with the information back and forth.
Right. And I'm going to put two links in the chat room right now.
If you're a convicted felon over there, motorcycle, you cannot get a job in a bar. You can't be a bouncer. You can't be a tow truck driver. You can't be a mechanic in any field. They've completely blackballed you if you end up being a convicted felon motorcycle rider.
Make it impossible for someone to earn a living trying to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Exactly, because now on the blog, I just put it in the chat room, but it's a link to the Support the Australian Bill of Rights, and under that one is the www.gotopetition.com. The petitions of the undersigned shows that Australia has no Bill of Rights that provide unequivocal rights and protections to its citizens. Your petitioners request that the Senate provide its means, and this is a petition to the Federal Parliament Senate for a Bill of Rights for all Australians. Australia is the only common law nation in the world that does not have a Bill of Rights for its citizens. We are asking for Australians to ask the Parliament or the Commonwealth of Australia to take to the people a referendum, a people's vote, a Bill of Rights to be enshrined as a constitutional level. They want Parliament to provide a means and a will to instigate a Bill of Rights. This means that would be such things as properly formed committee to oversee the process of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And to include contributors from a broad section of the Australian community.
There's cross-selection if we can, yeah.
The will is that they do conscientiously, without regard to party politics, religion, vested interests, or any such thing that will detract from a bill, and is done with honesty, integrity, and for the benefit of the Australian people. They're the only ones in the world, Bill, that don't have a Bill of Rights.
The plight of the Australian and the Canadian brothers and sisters that we review time to time, it's so scary, and yet it reminds us over and over again, this is not a perfect country, but it is the best country there is.
Exactly.
America is the best there is, guaranteed. But we have to make sure it stays the best there is.
Right.
Because that's what our job is.
Because I don't know if anybody heard this at the beginning, but I'll play it again for you right now. So I want you guys to listen to this. This is Jack Webb. And Bill Gannon.
Yeah. Right. Sergeant Friday.
But he's talking to Obama, so I think you guys.
These two men, pitch that again, though. Obama's sitting down, these two are talking to him.
Obama's sitting in a chair. These two guys are grilling him.
Well, listen to this.
So listen to what he said. It's got to load up here, but here we go. It should pop right up right now. But this is true and concise and to the point.
Maybe we do, son. Don't think you have a corner on all of virtue vision in the country, or that everybody else is fat and selfish and you're the first generation to come along that's felt dissatisfied. They all have, you know, about different things, and most of them didn't have the same opportunity and freedoms that you do. The fact is, more people are living better right here than anywhere else ever before in history. So don't expect us to roll over and play dead when you say you're dissatisfied.
You're taller, stronger, healthier, better educated, and you live longer than the last generation. And we don't think that's altogether bad. We've done quite a bit of fighting all around the world. Whether you think it was moral or not, a lot of people are free today to make their own mistakes because of it. And that may just include you.
I don't know. Maybe part of it's the fact that you're in a hurry. But some problems you can't get quick answers to, no matter how much you want them. Show me how to get rid of the unlimited capacity for human beings to make themselves believe that they're somehow right and justified in...
If we're telling you to lose your ideals or your sense of outrage... They're the only way things ever get done.
1 second, Marion.
And that still needs doing.
Okay.
You can tackle it. You don't have to do anything dramatic like trying to come up with a better country. You can find enough to keep you busy right here. While you're at it, don't break things up in the name of progress or crack a placard stick over somebody's head to help him see the light. Be careful of his rights, because your property and your person and your rights aren't any better than his. And next time, you may be the one to get it. We remember a man who killed 6 million people. And called it social improvement.
So hang in. Don't try to build a new country. Make the old one work. It has for over 400 years.
Marion, jump in, please. Are you here, Marion?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey.
Okay, hold on. Before you go off, people are asking me to put that link up. What I'll do is, if you send me an email, I'll send you the story.
Good enough. Marion, are you coming down the party on Sunday? Are you in town?
I had apologized for being tardy
getting online tonight, but I was working on the bike so that it would be ready for Sunday because it's supposed to rain tomorrow.
Good for you. You ride your bike up, and we've got Fran going to ride one of her bikes up, so there we go.
We want to go back to this.
What do you think about, we're talking about the, what would you want to talk about there? Oh, hang on. Mark, Marion, hang with us. Mark, get back to our last subject there for a second, okay, Mark?
Sure.
Okay, with what do you think about what they said to Obama?
Oh, you're asking me? Sorry.
Yeah, your opinion.
I had a hard time hearing all of it. It didn't come sound too clear to me. But,
okay.
If
you want, send me an email and I'll send it to you.
I would love you picked it up next time and comment on that because it goes throughout all the ages.
Basically, what they told him is just leave things alone, just fix what needs to be fixed, and don't fuck with the rest.
Yeah, appreciate what you got. And I do like the fact what they said about America's been in so many wars, but we have tried to be the peacekeeper for the whole world. It's always bit us in the ass, but still we keep trying. I say this now because I'm too damn old to go back to war again. I've also said this. Women and children will be on the front line fighting with sticks and stones before they call my ass back up again because, you know, one time's enough for me. I don't look good in that green uniform.
And then one of the other stories we touched on tonight was in Mexico City, they charged two guys that started up their bikes and they were backfired. They charged them with terrorism.
Okay, for why?
Agitating the mob. Too many people heard it, misconstrued it, reacted, caused panic. It goes back to who caused the panic. The backfire on the motorcycle caused the panic. People were...
Basically, Bill, it's because the backfire on the engine sounded like popping a gunshot under the people in the main square who were celebrating Holy Week.
And somehow
they
were
trying to get out of
on purpose.
Yeah, they did it on purpose.
Yeah, so anybody with loud pipes of any kind being in a vehicle or a bike will be charged as a terrorist in Mexico.
Well, I don't want to go to Mexico anyhow on my bike, so.
Marion, you never had a problem in Mexico with me, did you?
No, but last time I went to Mexico, I didn't much enjoy the company, so.
And then,
but we got you back to America, though.
So she's going to be there Sunday.
Yeah.
She's going to come down. Fran's coming down.
Nora's going to be only no-show, but we'll send her pictures.
We're going to send her pictures.
Because Mark said he was going to come down, too.
Oh, good. Maybe we can ask Fran, and Fran takes a lot of pictures. Maybe Mary might take a picture, too, and
right.
We can send the pictures over to the other people listening tonight.
And then Mark, there's...
Please like to see a picture of Fran's motorcycle, and then Mary and her motorcycle,
right.
too.
And then
Mark,
on Sunday... On your way back up, you can stop at, you know where Rusty's place is in Westminster?
Yes, I do.
Okay, they're going to have they're having a party there. It'll probably be till 5, but it's going to be for the sidecar bike.
Yeah.
The Speedway opens up. I think they have Monday or Tuesday.
What's a good time to get Kennedy's on Sunday?
Well, if you hit right at 12 o'clock and hang for 2 hours and get out of Dodge and head back up, you'll hit the tail end of their party. So it's only about a 5-minute drive from my shop to their shop. So 12 o'clock, it'll be full swing. If you decide to stay all the time. But if you hit the second part of the other party, if you leave here by 2 o'clock, you're there before 3, and you got at least 1 or 2 hours up at that party before you go home.
Oh, great.
Just stay with us. What the hell?
Yeah, either way.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Is actually go on to my photo website, and they'll already see two of the events from your shop. So those
are up. I didn't know that.
Type it in the chat room.
We're up already.
No, Fran, I'm a little shy. I never look at pictures of myself or anything. I'm a little shy.
Yeah. Actually, there's more to it, Bill. More than just your shop, because the two of you did the military, the ball. You were both doing that one, too. That one's up as well.
Yes. Also, I got to tell you, Would you come out and talk to you very quickly about the fact that the Paralyzed Veterans Association, the VA hospital, had a meeting with me? I am going to have the a motorcycle run from my shop to the VA. In fact, the VA hospital is going to bring down the van for transporting paralyzed vets and all that. They're going to have a display also on Sunday. We are going to have a party from my shop, a motorcycle run from my shop down to the VA.
June 28th, I think.
Mark, did you ask a question earlier about getting involved with the motorcycle club?
That was last.
Yes, that was the one.
Did you want to ask that again? We can try to elaborate that a second.
Oh, not getting involved. What's the best way to get involved? And I had asked, you know, is it joining some organization like Bolt or Bait, or is it through a motorcycle club? Is that a good way? And you had said to get involved the best way you feel comfortable, or whichever way you feel comfortable. I just thought, what's the best way to start to get involved? And calling in is one of them, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, then, well, we can talk to you. We can talk to you Sunday a little further about the club scene, but.
We just have to come down to Mexico for a weekend with us. She'll be in fine shape after that.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You trying to scare him off, Bill, or what?
That's not that. Run for the border run, is it?
Negative.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay. When we go down there, it's our own party.
Oh, very good. So, yeah, definitely I'm coming down this Sunday, and then or the following weekend is Yuma Prison Run. My wife's going to be going to me with that, and we're leaving on Friday morning, I guess, at some point, and head that way from Long Beach area.
Who are you going down there with?
Just the two of us. I don't have anybody else to go over there with. I got a family member that rides sometimes, and he can't get that weekend off. So,
When
you get down to Interstate 8, okay, Mark?
Yeah, we're going to take, yes, I'm listening.
Keep Mexico to your right.
Okay. That's good advice, huh? I'll follow that advice.
Sunday.
So it should be easy to find my way if I do that.
As long as it's on your
and
right.
And the other thing is, if you're going to ride down there by yourself with just you and your wife, Bill and I, we haven't set up where exactly we're going to leave from yet, but we'll keep you in the loop.
Okay, great. I appreciate
Saturday,
that.
Saturday, we want you to meet us at 10 o'clock at the fairgrounds for the Victor McLaughlin drill team. And that's going to go on until like 12 o'clock. And then about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to take a little run up to the Yuma prison itself. So
right,
Saturday
right.
We'll have an itinerary we'll give you on this Sunday. So what's going on, blah, blah, blah. You can hook up with us, et cetera, et cetera. And yet you and your wife can stay. Have you got a hotel room yet? Are you going to sleep out in the fairground?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we decided to go with the room, and I've had that reserved since the 1st of February. So that's where we're staying. Motel near Super 8 or something like that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'll coordinate that at the run on Sunday with everybody if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, because...
Okay.
Bill's kind of upset because I got the better hotel.
Oh, this is so
weird.
I scored a hotel, and then I came across a friend of mine and says, hey, Bill, I got this great contact, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to say the name of the hotel because I'm so mad. I got him hooked up with a goddamn suite for, $8.20 more than I pay for a dump that I'm in. As long as my friends are happy, that's okay. You're in a suite.
He'll make you know that, though. Trust me. He'll rub it in.
He's going to sneak over and have breakfast like he was one of the roomies.
They told me that. I'm going to go over to his place and eat the breakfast, my God. $8.20 more. He's got a suite. I got a dump. My friends are happy. That's all.
Yeah. So we're down to the last 4 minutes, Bill. So I'm gonna take us out with a little Whitey Ford. This one's called What It's Like. But I'd like to extend an invitation to everybody to come back next week.
Yes.
Tuesday or Thursday, we'll be here. And
we'll see everybody this Sunday that can. And all the people in Arizona and all that, please feel free to join us at Yuma if you're coming down. Arizona, Colorado, blah 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 blah, New Mexico. If you can't find us Friday night and all that, Saturday, 10 o'clock at the Victor McLaughlin drill team at the Yuma Fairgrounds. We'll be there for that.
That's correct. So
good night to you guys. You have a wonderful weekend. Bill, you and Phil, you enjoy yourself.
Well, I wish all of our friends could join us, but maybe one day.
But
one
this
day.
Is this is What It's Like by Whitey Ford.
Thanks all. Very much, everybody.
All right, good night.
Good night, Mark. Good night, Marion.
Bye-bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Take care.